get into the Word tonight. This is number 3 in the series that we've been doing. And the title of this series, I don't think I gave it to you. But the series is called Healing Examples. Healing Examples. And we're talking about various times in the Word of God where healings took place. I want you to open to Luke chapter 8. And we're just randomly going in the Word, and we'll try to pick out various occurrences where the power of God brought healing and discuss them and talk about healing. Healing is something that every one of us, you know, at some point or another have needed and possibly will need again in the future. Amen? Now, you can have, you know, it's possible to have very strong faith in one area of your life. That some people have very strong faith in the area of their finances, and strong faith in the area of forgiveness, but have very weak faith in the area of healing. Or some people have very strong faith where healing's concerned, but the financial thing is a problem for them. Others have very strong faith in their the reality that they're forgiven of sin, and when they confess it before the Lord, He forgives them and cleanses them, and they can go on, and it's not a problem with them, but talk about healing, and they struggle. So it's very possible. Man, the reason for that is basically because if you have received the Word and studied the Word on a certain area of the Word, your faith is going to be higher in that area. So, you know, really the bottom line is we need to hear on these subjects and let the Lord build our faith, build us up. You know, Jesus mentioned it in the Word. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith, remember?" Talked about people with little faith. Then he mentioned at times how great a faith certain person had. Yeah. So there was that. Then I remembered, and as I was writing that, I thought, you know, and there's another place in the Word now. Jesus didn't say it, but Paul wrote it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. You might make note of it. It reads this way from the Contemporary English Version. I looked it up in 25, 30 different versions. And just wanted to read it, and I do that, and found some really obscure versions. But this reads this way: "Pray that we may be kept safe from worthless and evil people." It's kind of applicable, isn't it? You know, pray that we're safe from evil and worthless people. After all, not everyone has faith. You know, I think the King James reads, "Not all or not everyone has faith." It's important to understand people are at various levels in their faith. And so consequently, because it takes faith to please God, some people are not as pleasing to God as others. You say, "No, wait a minute. I thought if I'm born again, I'm pleasing to the Lord." It takes faith to please God. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, verse number 17. Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to be on this quest to have your faith built up. It's a constant quest. It's something that we're going to do. And tonight we're feeding on the Word concerning healing. We're feeding our faith for healing this night. So now is the time to build up your faith regarding healing, not when you need healing. All right? It's always better to be prepared. Ann and I were talking about this last night, and I said, made a comment about it, and she said, You know, and Ann will say things now and again, and it'll just get me thinking, you know, and just kind of like turn it loose in me. You know what I'm saying? She's my other half. What would you call her? My better half. I was waiting for one of you females to bring that one up, but you're right, she is. She's a much more tender half, that's for sure. Although I'm a pretty a tender person, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Why do I do that? You know, I wonder. I listen to myself later on. I'm like, why did you say that? Why did you even bother? You know how that's going to come out. Anyway, so we were talking, and she said, you know, one of the biggest issues in life is that of discipline. You know, I mean, we are called, and the Bible says we are disciples, right? So a disciple is somebody who is supposed to be disciplined. And so when we start talking about discipline, you know, the fact is there's a lot of areas of life of doing this word that requires a lot of discipline. And, you know, the word is, you know, the yoke is easy, his burden is light. Yeah, when you learn how to cast your cares over on him and understand that he's going to light our pathway as we put his word. Our duty is to get into the word. And a lot of people don't like to do that. They don't want to be disciplined enough to do that on a consistent basis. You need to be able to get into the word in various ways. If you do it the same way every time, if every time all you do is sit down and read the scriptures and never take some time to actually pull one or two verses out and cross-reference them and then dig into some of the background, the translations, you know, there's various ways to approach your times in the Word. I like to sit and listen to it. That's what I was telling you the other day. There has to be some variation because in that variation comes, there's really your ears hear things in a different way. You see things in a different way when you approach it in different ways. So it's important to do that. How many of y'all like to eat eggs for breakfast? I mean, most people do. Some people don't. Bacon, sausage, you know, that stuff. Pancakes, right? Yeah, sure. You keep doing that, you're going to be as big as a house. But, you know, if... now, not the eggs necessarily. I don't mean that, but the pancakes. You know. There must be leaven in pancakes. Yeah, it gets in your body and it blows you up like a balloon. But anyway, so you like eggs, but do you want to eat the very same... Now, some of you are probably going to answer yes, and you're going to blow my illustration, but... do you like to eat the very same thing, I'm going to put it this way, for your whole life, every day for breakfast? No. Now and again, you see, I knew this was probably going to be the eggs and the bacon. Yeah, and what's that?
Eva does.
Yes, it's always, that's true. Yes. No, but I confess to you that I do eat raw almonds every day of the week. At breakfast time, I do that. That's something that I do. I eat a handful of raw almonds. It's good for you. And men, you ought to be doing that. It's a good thing for you, for your prostate. Don't want to get too personal here, but it is a good thing. Raw cherries are good. Walnuts are good. Oh, there's a lot of things. But anyway. And, you know, so I do eat certain foods consistently. But man, I like to vary the other stuff. You know what I'm saying? I like to vary. Oh, the other day, I mean, I got a call to go have breakfast with this gentleman. And so I did, and I was just going to have a bowl of fruit. And the waitress came up, oh, would you like some pancakes today? Well, by golly, I do, actually. So I did. I had a big old stack of pancakes and eggs and some bacon, which I never get to do that much. Once in a while, it isn't going to hurt, is right. But my point is, you vary your approach, okay? You vary your approach. You don't eat the same thing, you know, every day, all throughout the day. Some of you do, I think, but for the most part, most people don't. And you need to vary your approach in the Word. So let's look here in Luke chapter 8 tonight. And again, the message title is Slow Down and Hear. We as people in this generation at this time in history like things to happen quickly. Who doesn't like a quick result when you pray? Who doesn't like it when you go in someplace and they have your order ready and hand it to you and your food is first, you know? I mean, it's nice when you can, you know, go somewhere and you're suddenly at the top of the list, and they call you. When you walk in, I've had this happen before, but I believe God for that kind of favor, too. You walk in, and you're supposed to take a number. They go, well, why don't you come on? Just come on up right now. I'll help you. And I'm like, yeah, sounds like God, you know. 25 people, and they choose me. But anyway, we like things fast, and God doesn't normally do it that way. Have you noticed that over the years? most of the time it's not instantaneous. But most people get in such a hurry in life, and they like everything lickety-split, and they don't really want to have to work for it. They want instant cereal. They want instant this, instant that, instant this, instant that. And God's not going to do it that. Once in a while, you may have that happen. I'm not saying miracles don't happen, because they do. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, we're going to look at this situation with the woman with the issue of blood. And I'm just going to touch on it lightly tonight, and I'll go into it more in the weeks to come. But I want you to notice something here. In verse 43, it talks about the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. But why did she seek out Jesus? You know, you look at this and you're going to want. So back up a few verses. Go back down. And there were some supernatural things happening. You remember when Jesus cast out the spirit out of Legion? He said his name was Legion in verse 30. Many devils were entered into him, and he cast the devil out. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. I heard somebody say the other day that was deviled ham. I like that. There you go. Amen. Deviled ham. Yeah, the swine ran down, and anyway, this then they wanted Jesus to leave and all that. And then it goes on down into verse 37. The whole multitude of the country, the gatherings round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went back up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house, show how great things God has done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. My point is that when situations are turned around and the power of God ministers to somebody, word gets out. And people start talking about it. And people start testifying about it. One of the greatest ways that you can witness is to share what the Lord has done in your life. And don't wait for some big, major something to happen. You need to talk to people about why you're happy when others aren't. Why you have peace when others are coming apart like a cheap watch. Why in the world, how can you handle all of this stuff going on in the world with such a calm heart? Such a calm attitude. I've noticed the way you act. That is a great testimony that at times people say, well, you know, it's not a miraculous healing. Well, people need to hear what's happening. It may spur faith in them to reach out and receive something from God that they have need of. You need to be sharing what has happened and is happening in you. And don't wait just for the times when it seems that it's so spectacular. You wait for the spectacular and you will miss the supernatural. That's guaranteed. People that are always looking for something, some kind of sign to happen, something to happen, will miss what God is even wanting to do and wanting to say. Don't get hung up on wanting to see the spectacular and miss the supernatural. The supernatural is not always spectacular. The supernatural can be very quiet and very still. And yet God does something. I've had people get healed of things in their body right here in the service, just sitting there. Just sitting there. Not even, and there was no fanfare, there was no jumping up, jumping around. And I'm praise God when somebody gets healed and they jump around. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't look for that as evidence that God has moved. That's just as wrong to look and see, well, if somebody gets prayed for and they don't get slain in the spirit, well, God didn't really touch them. The Holy Spirit's not moving. Are you kidding me? I've seen more people get healed who weren't slain in the spirit than were. And there are times people, you know, they come up and they're like, ah, oh, and you barely get near them and they fall down. And I'm not saying you can't be susceptible to the anointing in that way. And some people receive. My mom's one of them. She's received many times that way. gets slain in the spirit. She's very sensitive to the anointing that way. But there are others I've prayed for. It felt like I was laying my hand on this pedestal here. It didn't feel like anything was going on. Just going through the motions. And they come back and God healed them. I've seen that happen so many times. So please, don't look for the super, for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. Now, here's what happened. The word was out about Jesus. And then this man named Jairus, in verse 41, he was ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. He had only one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having the issue of blood, this is where she comes in, and slows down the situation, and they find out that the daughter died, and you know Jesus raised the daughter up from the dead. And the woman got healed. My point is, again, word was out about Jesus. How did anybody know that Jesus was healing people? They couldn't look on their phone and check out the news headline. They couldn't turn on the television. I mean, people were talking about it. And so she heard something in order to know what was going on in Christ. And I'll tell you right now, that tallit that Jesus wore with the fringes on the prayer shawl with the fringes is what that woman grabbed. And to the Jew, that the fringes on that garment represented the totality of all that God is. That's the totality of God. When you reach for that, you're reaching for the totality of God. And that's really exciting, actually, when you think about it. She just reached out, and somebody said, well, she reached out and touched the garment. Well, Jesus felt the power drain out of him. And he turns around and looks and says, who touched me? And they are like, Jesus, look at the crowd. There's people everywhere. That one touched you, that one touched you, this one, that one. I bumped into you for crying out loud. I mean, he said, no, somebody touched me. I felt power go out. There's the touch, and then there's the touch of faith. And the touch of faith is coming with an expectant heart. You come expecting. You come expecting. And when you come expecting like this woman did, the results followed. Now, look at verse 48. We're going to jump down to that because we're going to come back to this incident in the weeks to come, but I'm just going to touch on something here tonight. Verse 48, Jesus now, she was healed immediately at the end of verse 47, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. She touched him in faith, and Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. There are other places in the word that you'll find it said this way, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. You remember Jesus saying that? I'm not going to give you the references right now, but we'll look at these again in the weeks to come. According to your faith, be it done unto you. We see that in the word. Your faith has saved you. But notice how he mentions it. Your faith had something to do with the power release of the Lord. It's really important that you take time to grow and have your faith built up. Too many times people want results without putting in the legwork. I want the results, and I want it now. Well, how much of the word are you getting into? How much word are you taking in? And, it's important that when you take in the word, you believe it. Amen? I mean, you need to say, yeah, that's what the word says. Don't let somebody talk you into a place where you're constantly, yeah, well, that's not really what he meant. That's not really what he meant. I hear people say that, and it's like you can't have faith to receive healing if you're always trying to do away with the fact that, well, he healed them, but he doesn't heal anymore because my pastor said he doesn't. Well, this pastor never said that. The word never says that. I mean, you need to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Sure. Now, we're not opposed to doctors and the medical profession. I believe in the medical profession. And as I said to Jerry on the phone today, I said, by a person's faith be it done unto them. And if it requires the medical profession to step in, that's fine. The bottom line is we want the person to be well. And, if they can get it without a doctor, great, but don't get into a pride thing. Well, you know, I don't need a doctor. You may need a doctor, and it's not a sin to go to a doctor. So just realize that. Keep growing in your faith. Keep growing in your faith. Keep being disciplined. Keep dealing with the things that you need to deal with, and put down the things the Lord wants you to put down. You can't abuse your body and expect it to stay healthy and strong. Amen? That's not preached enough, but that is the truth. You cannot abuse your body and have it perform the way it's supposed to. Now, man is always limited at his best. But even with medicine, I mean, they say, well, you know, there's no more we can do. Well, let me tell you something about that. It may be impossible to a man and to men and to the medical profession, but with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. Amen. Write these verses down. All things are possible to him that believeth is Mark 9, verse 23, and that's part B, or the latter half of that verse, Mark 9, 23b. When you say A or B, it's the first half is A and the second half of the same verse is B. So Mark 9, 23b, the end of it reads, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then in Matthew 19, verse 26, Mark 10, verse 27, Mark 14, verse 36, these are all about what's possible. Like with God, all these things are possible. Luke 18, verse 27. What men find impossible is always possible with God. And the Lord always has been a healer, by the way. You can go back in the Old Testament and find Exodus chapter 15. You remember that? Verse 26 at the end of the chapter there. That's where he declares that I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's not the Lord that makes you sick. Just his covenant name alone, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. Says he's not the one making people sick. This stupid doctrine that people think God's putting sickness on folk to teach them something. I'm so tired of hearing that, because when people get that in their heads and they've been taught it from a young age, that's always the default. Well, somehow or another, the Lord's done this to me and he's trying to teach me something. No, the Lord's not teaching you with things that he has redeemed you from. He's redeemed you from all sickness and disease. He's not trying to teach you by using it. He doesn't use the devil nor anything of the devil. Let me tell you this. You can learn when you stub your toe to be more careful. Right? You ever walk through somewhere and you're, you know, I've done it at the house, you know, and you've walked through there how many times? And never had a problem. And this one day, you're just walking with your bare feet. You decide you're going to catch your little toe on the edge of that metal chair. And you're going, you don't go, Lord, why did you do that to me? You go, you know what, you ding-a-ling? Watch where you're going. And put some shoes on. Yeah, right, there you go. Very practical, sister. I'll never forget the day when we first moved down to Oklahoma. I decided to take our dogs for a walk, and I had bare feet. And it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon in July or in September or something. It was a mistake. I'm walking down the street, and I'm like, all of a sudden, whoa, whoa. Let's get in the grass, girls. We had two big white Samoyeds, and they were used to Wisconsin. You know, a Samoyed is a white, you know what they look like a big white, all white husky with the curved tip, beautiful dogs. And they're like, they wanted to go out in it. And then me like a dummy. And then so I get off on the grass with them. And then when we got to the house, I looked at their paws. We weren't on it long enough to cause them any burns. Their feet were tougher than that. But me, I put my shoes on later on that day, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I burned my feet on that stupid road. Look, I learned a lesson. But, you know, you pay attention and you learn something. Amen? And I learned. So Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3, you remember that portion of the word. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. And it goes on, it talks about he forgives your iniquities, and he does what? He heals all of your diseases. That's Old Testament. He's been a healer since day one. He's always been a good God. He didn't turn, you know, from a bad God in the Old Testament killing and wiping out folk to a blesser in the New Testament. He's always been good. So we see that. He still heals. He still forgives. He's the same. Now, a lot of people say, I don't believe in miracles. I don't believe in miracles. I don't anymore believe in that mumbo jumbo. Mumbo jumbo. I always liked to say that when I was a little boy. Mumbo jumbo. Anyway, it's just me. But when they need a miracle, they'll suddenly believe in it. It's amazing when people get desperate, how they'll go, you know, man, but now it's me we're talking about here. Now it's my body that needs something supernatural to happen, and they're telling me there's nothing. Now I need one of these things that I said never happened. I would advise everybody here and everybody out there, believe God does still perform miracles. How many of y'all believe that? God still performs miracles. He does. He is that. He's the Almighty God. The Bible calls him the Almighty God. In Hebrew, it's El Shaddai or El Shaddai, the mighty breasty one, the one who gives nourishment to his children like a mother does to her children. Yeah. He's the one where we get our life from. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's the God that will reverse nature and turn things around, and things that appear to be impossible, he'll bring into the realm of possibility. With God, all things are possible. So we said before, how does faith come? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But now let's go back in Luke. You're in Luke. Go back to chapter 6 quickly. Luke chapter 6. I want you to see something here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 17. He came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. Now look at this last portion, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for their, what? Went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now that's similar to what we just read over here in Luke 8. It was happening back in Luke 6. Virtue was going out of him. Power was going out of him. And people were touching him and getting healed back there. We don't know how many either, by the way. But the part I want to focus on is verse 17. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. You have to hear. But people a lot of times don't want to hear. They want to skip over that. They want the quick miracle. I don't want to have to sit and hear the word. I don't want to have to go through all that. You know, it's kind of like the guy that showed up one day and he wanted money after church. Or he showed up before church and he asked if he, you know, we had any finances, he needed $100. I'm like, well, I could use $100 too, you know. Not really, but anyway, I said, okay, I'll sit down and talk with you, but you need to stay for the service and then we'll deal with it afterwards. I'm not going to do that. He stormed out the door. Then he had the audacity to come back after the service. And I said, I told you, you ruined it for yourself. You know, that just corks me when people want, you know, they want the money from the Christians, but they don't want the message. Forget it. And anybody out there that wants to call in and ask for money, hey, why don't you come to the church? Imagine that. And I don't feel bad about saying that one bit. We're going to look after our own before we're going to strangers who come in asking for money. I'm going to help the stranger. I've done it many, 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 many times. But the Lord has dealt with us about making sure that the people who come and are faithful and come to the church have their needs met. And if they've got a problem or have an issue, we're going to step up and help them. And we've done that in the tens of thousands of dollars. Not all at one time. Don't get any ideas. But we do give a lot to help people. So praise God for that. But a lot of folks just, they don't want to have to hear. Now, It's fine to pray for people, you know, that's kind of like, well, I would love to pray for somebody over that needs healing. And then you begin to pray, or you get ready to pray, and you figure up and you start realizing they're not ready to receive. They don't have faith to believe for healing. Now, it's fine to pray for people if it can be done in faith. And not only the candidate, but you who's doing the praying too. That's important. Now, somebody will say, well, what about, Pastor, the working of miracles or the special faith that's listed in 1 Corinthians 12? Things that happen there. What about that? What about that, Lord? What about it? What about this endowment of healings? That's what's called the gifts of healings in 1 Corinthians 12, and working miracles and special faith. What about that? Those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and when those happen, I've seen it, it's called a miracle. And those are wonderful. But most of the time, that's not the way it happens. I've seen over the years, people need to hear the word, get their faith built up, and grow in it. And that's what was happening here, the preaching of the word. It does no good to pray for something if you're not ready to believe for it. In fact, if you try to pray for something that you're not ready or have the faith to believe for, and then it doesn't happen, can really hurt your faith to ever rise to the level that it could. People make that mistake. They try to pray for things they're not ready to pray for. And then when it doesn't happen, they go, forget it. Well, you were trying to pay for something that required this much and you had that much. You can get mad when you go down to the car dealer with $500 and you're trying to buy a $50,000 SUV. You can go, it just doesn't work. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. You've got to have more than $500 to pay for the $50,000 vehicle, right? You don't approach a situation where it requires a lot of faith and you've got just a smattering and you've been giving God a couple minutes here and there once in a while, and now you're going to believe God for this? It doesn't work like that. Unless there is a manifestation, a phanerosis of one of those things that I just mentioned, faith and miracles or healings, you know, by your faith be it done unto you, brother. And sometimes we can carry people on our faith, but at some point they become responsible to carry themselves and walk along with the Lord by themselves. You notice I didn't carry Austin off the stage tonight. Come on, buddy. Come on. No, he walked off the stage. People have to walk on their own two feet. Another place in the word, let me and listen to this. We're going to close with this. Hearing is vital in all of this. Hearing is vital in all of this. You cannot separate miracles from faith, and you cannot separate faith from what you hear. So if we're believing God, a miracle can happen or a healing can take place over a period of time, but it all is going to come back to what you're hearing. So you have to be ready to hear and ready to hear some more. Don't ever get to the place where you think you don't need to hear the word anymore. The enemy does not want you to hear the word. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23, you know, we're commanded to hear. We're commanded to do that in the word. It's right there. Let me just quickly read it to you. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all of their flesh. Sure. Sure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm going to stop right there tonight, but you need to hear the word. Sometimes healing is not spelled H-E-A-L-I-N-G. Sometimes healing is spelled R-E-P-E-N-T. Repent. Huh? Sometimes it's spelled F-O-R-G-I-V-E. Because if you don't, your healing's not going to manifest. Sometimes it's spelled O-B-E-Y. Well, Pastor Dan, it has to be the... No, it doesn't. There are things that stop your healing from happening. Please stand to your feet. But hearing is at the base of all of this. You need to hear. Faith cannot increase if you don't hear. And not just anything on the subject, by the way. Could I have one of those cards, please, or all of them? Or is there just one? Oh, praise God. You need to hear anointed preaching on the word regarding healing. And if people never see anybody ever get healed, you have to wonder. Right? Now, some people have made the mistake of trying to, again, pray for people who were not ready to receive that way. They had chance after chance after chance, and they ignored what the Lord was trying to get them to do in the Word. Don't be one of those. You're here tonight. You're hearing the Word. Stay on that. Go into the Gospels and read these accounts. Go. It would be a good study for all of you while we're in this series, and this is going to last a while, to read the accounts of healing that you find. There's some in the book of Acts, too, by the way. Some in places in the epistles that are brought up. But there are a lot of accounts of healing where Jesus healed people. And it's still His will today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You and praise You and give You glory tonight, that You are still a healer. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord thy God, Malachi chapter 3, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still a healer. If He did it in the Bible days, He'll do it today. He still forgives. He still heals. He still performs miracles. He still will prosper you. He'll still take care of you as His child. So hold fast to that. Continue to hear the word in your heart. Hear the word on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Amen.